If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Two people, one I've known for some time and one I've just met, but on the telephone, are two of my favorite people. What Yay! Was it? Who was that laughing? You, Linda, or you, Pamela?
Both of us. I think we both had a chuckle.
I mean it. I absolutely mean it. You can read. You can read about them both on page 6 of your. If you still get a newspaper, and many of you do, because it's a Sunday Tribune, and you can see a nice picture of Pamela. Pamela DeBars, man, did we have trouble finding a picture of you that we could use. It was unbelievable to me.
All the ones I said.
I know, but who knows? Who knows what these photo people think at the Tribune? They're all nice people, but I thought the picture, have you seen it yet? The picture of you is great. It's, I don't know where it's taken. You have flowers in your hair, as you well should. You know, the funny thing about this, Pamela is coming here this week, a very busy week for Linda, who, does Pamela stay with you, Linda, at your house?
Yes, she does. It's and lovely. That, we have a lovely time.
And that is where she conducts, she does not allow men into her writing workshops, which I certainly understand, but I'm quite jealous of that, because I gotta believe... These writing workshops, Pamela's had a number of bestsellers, and she has told the story of what she's told her life story. And I've finished her first book, I'm with the band, and it's an incredibly good book, and it tells a story. It's a very colorful story of what it was like to be a groupie in the heyday of the 1960s, 70s. Was it hard, Pamela? I didn't ask you this, Pamela, but was it tough to write that book? I mean, was it difficult? You're not a trained writer, so to speak. Was it difficult?
No, it was really not. It's a story I figured I would tell while I was living it, because I knew what was going on around me and, you know, inside me, spiritually, every other kind of way, sexually, whatever. Mm-hmm. Awakenings, you know. I knew this time I was in, certainly musically, would never come again.
Sure.
I knew I was in the third eye of the storm, the third eye of the rock storm, you know. And I kept diaries, and I figured one day I would share it somehow.
The response, one of the other interesting things about this, and Linda, you can address some of this too, is I heard from so many people after this article. The article is in the paper today, but it goes online days beforehand, is saying to me, what a brave, wonderful woman. What a great story. These were all women roughly the same age as we are. I have to believe that when that book came out, there were some people who held their nose up and said, oh, this is it's not politically correct.
Yes, I was way ahead of the game as far as
honesty.
An unknown person writing a memoir.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
People were not doing that at that time. No one knew who I was, really. And I just told my story of growing up in Hollywood on the Sunset Strip and dating, if for a better word, of several musicians from that time that are now revered, you know, mythological characters, even though they're alive. Some of them are still alive.
Yeah, exactly.
The mythology around the young Mick Jagger with the long red scarf and, you know, sympathy for the devil. That's almost become mythology. Of course, Jim Morrison and, you know, a lot of the people I knew. So they literally sit wrapped while I tell these stories.
Yeah.
And I had no idea how it would be. I just said, okay, I want to do a one-woman show. And I just, you know, forged ahead, like you say, forward. I like the way you say forward.
Onward, yeah.
Onward, yeah.
The thing about it, though, is I think you became a performer, I think, an effective performer, to hear Linda Beckstrom tell it, because of the book, because you would go out and do book events, signings, and other things you sort of invented the whole narrative drive of a presentation, right?
Yes, I started reading right away. You know, my first gig was at NYU. in 1987. I was really scared to death.
Sure, I can imagine.
And because I was never a public speaker of any kind, you know, but the more I read out loud through the years, because the book is still in print after 37 years,
That's something.
Kept doing these readings,
sure,
and and it expanded, you know, it expanded all the time. I would think, oh, wait. Also, when I did the Audible book, I remembered things as I was reading, and I would do these asides.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of helped, too. So it, there's a lot of asides. I read, and then it triggers something in my memory. New things sometimes. I mean, it's probably helping my brain cells to be doing this.
No, I'm sure. It certainly
well, and
is.
There's a, yeah, and there's a spontaneity that you can feel also in the show that adds to just how entertaining it is. And Pamela is, you're such an, I mean, she's a very honest woman. And, you know, going back to people turning up their noses or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, people don't like to hear that kind of honesty from women. Still.
Well, there,
I mean, we're getting there, but,
still,
you know.
Well, even,
crazy,
even,
but still.
As Pamela says, as Pamela said, and I quoted in this piece, it said, I want to redeem the word groupie. Anyone who doesn't like that word gets upset by it. Seems to me just jealous or sexist. I could not agree with that more. I mean, I grew up in era of the 60s. I went on the road with the band Styx, and it was a revelation to me. And my brother was a road manager for everybody from Elvis to Bob Dylan. So I sort of know of that world. I mean, Pamela, it really was, and I'm just looking at it as an observer. It was really a crazy time, and I know you did drugs. We all did drugs. How did you remain... I don't like the word survivor. How did you... I don't. I really don't. I don't like that word.
Unless you're in the band, survivor. I'm not addictive. I mean, I'm not addictive when it comes to alcohol or drugs.
Yeah.
I was addicted to music and to musicians, for sure. And the high I got from being on stage with... I just saw... Someone sent me a picture... A screenshot of me on stage with Zeppelin in this movie that just came out.
Wow.
And I knew I was there because I recognized all the clothes they were wearing and everything. So that was fun to see. But I was on stage with these people.
Mm.
I don't even think that happens anymore for a long time now. It's too dangerous, right? I mean...
Right.
So, well, it's too dangerous, and the economics of concerts are not what they used to be. I mean, from audience on down. We have to take a little break. Both of you stay on, please, if you would, and I'm very grateful that you both could come on together. I want to ask you, Linda, Linda Beckstrom, how you've seen now, you've hosted... 10, this is the 11th writing workshops coming up. I want to know how you think they've changed. And also, I know that you have felt from people who participated the empowerment that's involved in this whole thing. So stay tuned, everybody. At the Constellation, this coming April 24th, which is Thursday.
Thursday.
thank you. At 8:30, the Constellation is near where Old Riverview used to be, 3111 Northwestern Avenue. You go to constellation-chicago.com for information and to buy tickets. Or is the writing workshop sold out?
No, I think there's room for a couple more. I think we have around 10, I think, Linda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's room for a few more.
Good. You can go.
More than merriest.
Yeah. Go to Pamela's website. It's a wonderful website. It's PamelaDesBarres official. Pamela DeBarres. Yeah. Official. Tell me a little bit, Pamela. We didn't talk about it. What was your husband like? You're obviously still friendly. You have a child with him, an adult child now.
Yes, we are very close. He actually does the Q&A for me at the Whiskey A Go Go.
Oh, nice.
And both, two of the times, he's done all three of them, two of the times he comes down the stairs when I introduce him to a Silverhead song, and he literally got down on his knees and kissed my feet.
Aww.
So
that's the way every
sweet.
That's the way every ex-husband should behave.
Exactly.
Yes.
And Linda, let me ask you, you have seen and been a participant in a fashion, I suppose, of 10 of Pamela's writing workshops. How have you seen her change over the years? Have you seen the workshops become more engaging, more empowering?
Yeah. Well, they've always been that from the beginning.
Yeah.
Pamela is very much herself always. What I love about the workshops is that they're sort of a core of people that come all the time, but then we have new people, and everyone is so welcoming and open about what we write and how we talk about it, and you know, it's just a very sort of giving place, and that's a really wonderful thing to watch. And when there are new people, I think Pamela and I and some of the others that have come more than once, we're always amazed at the things that come out, you know, that people write about.
Yeah. Most of them have read my books, and they feel comfortable sharing with me because I've shared, right?
Right.
So
sure.
It's a very safe place. There's no judgment. There's no critique. It's not like going to a college at all or anything like that. It is a very safe, comfortable, love-filled space. It's like a writing love-in, and I'm not exaggerating. It's everyone's accepted, and everyone that people become best friends for life in these workshops.
True, that's very
true. We're all
true.
So similar. Yeah, fantastic.
If you're all so similar, what is drawing people to? Obviously, they are curious. What is drawing someone who does not know who you are, who has not read your books? Do you get a sense that women are kind of inhibited by the lack of freedom that they are allowed? Or am I getting too psychological here?
Well, no, I agree. They don't know what to expect a lot of the time. They walk in kind of tentative.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first writing prompt, and then they read it, they're a little nervous about that, they realize, oh, I'm in the right place to share my life story. It's all memoir related.
Yeah.
So it's all about sharing your life, and they become, all of a sudden, they'll learn things about, they'll discover things about the stories they're telling that they've learned or that they didn't remember even. And it just comes out in the writing. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know what the magic is, but it's there, Rick. It really is.
It's definitely there. Yep, it's definitely there. I think it's also just the opportunity to be yourself and say things that you've never maybe said out loud.
Absolutely.
And it's really fascinating to watch people get comfortable and just, you know, go with it. It's really a wonderful process.
Well, there's got to be just an astonishing kind of freedom in doing that. I can only imagine, because you don't let men come to these things. Pamela, did you initially have men in the workshops? And you realized immediately, this is not going to work.
Yes, I did. And it was pretty quick. It was mainly women anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing 8 weeks. Each class section would be like 8 weeks long.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's just sort of ongoing when I started traveling with it and everything. And I noticed right away that the women held back when the men were in the room. And the men were more tentative than the women.
Interesting.
And definitely. And especially, it was mainly women, so of course the men were a little, tentative about it.
Shy,
So now it's all women, and it's also very coven-like, and almost witchy in a way, that when you get that much feminine energy together, you feel like you can do anything.
True.
Yeah,
anything special. You travel all over the world, frankly, to conduct these I don't want to call them seminars, I'll call them workshops. The world. Have you found, after, you know, 10 in Chicago, have you found anything distinctive or especially interesting about the Chicago gang?
Well, they're very straightforward, most of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they speak their minds. They in fact, they don't hold back at all. Most of the Chicago people who come.
Yeah.
And one of the most surprising things about it for all the girls is listening to each other.
Mm.
They, you know, I make a point of saying, you know, half of this is listening to each other.
Yeah.
So you realize you're not alone with these feelings.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with how well they go. I've never had any negative thing happen in workshop, except a couple times when people came because they knew, for instance, one of them knew I knew Don Johnson, another one knew I knew Robert Plant. So they were just kind of...
Yes.
Pointing in on that.
They were going. Yeah. They were saying, "Can I go to the bathroom?" And then looking through your bedroom drawers for Robert Plant's phone number. Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny.
Out of 24 years, that's pretty
wow.
good. Odd. Yeah, I've been doing it for 24 years.
Linda, have you been tempted? I so admired your first book, even though it's a work of nonfiction and the memoir of someone else. You know what a big
thank
fan
you.
I was of that book. Have these workshops at all sort of empowered you or hinted to you that maybe there's another book in you?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
For me, the great thing is they kind of are like little. Jump starts, you know. It's like kind of getting your wires jumped, you know. And I go, oh, I really do. Not only do I love doing this, but also I think I got a couple of ideas here.
Mm.
And that for me is, you know, that's worth that is totally worth a lot. You know, you don't necessarily do that on your own. I mean, I journal. You know, we all do. Writers write,
sure.
But you know, to have a group of people right there. And you maybe came, you know, maybe there were some really great sentences in there, or a couple of really good descriptions, and you get this instant feedback, and it's lovely. It's really encouraging.
Yeah.
And what are you doing? Well, are you thinking of or plotting or planning a second book?
Well, I've just finished my third book, and the other two books are fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we talked about this, Rick.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get fiction published.
It's a wicked environment out there.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But, you know, it's all, for me, it's just using those muscles and having a captive audience. I mean, you get to read what you've written and you get instant, as I said, instant feedback. That's really fun.
Well, it sounds very, very exciting, and I'm jealous of the women who will be attending these workshops. And I will tell you women out there who want to attend, and it's like I'm asking, hey, please, can I sneak in? And I'm not. I'm not.
Can't.
I respect what goes on there. It is Pamela DeBars official.com, PamelaDeBarres official.com. That will give you information about all manner of things, or you can, if you just want to see and participate, not even participate, you participate as an audience member in an intimate evening with Pamela DeBars.
Yes, please come.
Just go to constellation-chicago.com. She will maybe have with her the phone numbers for Robert Plant, Don Johnson, and God knows who else. Ladies, I hope it's going to be an ongoing pleasure to know the two of you, and I thank you for...
Aw, thank you, Rick.
There's a story on page six of your... Go online. Just if you can type in Pamela DeBars, you will find a ton of stuff. Also, some very nice pictures. Ladies, knock 'em dead this week.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
See you soon, Linda.
Take care.
Hi, Rick. I hope to see you in the show.